Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here. It's a beautiful day. I hope you get out and enjoy it. Can't wait till we're able to open these doors and everybody's back among us. I've had a few people ask me when that's going to be. I'm still waiting to hear. I'm praying every day. I hope it's really soon. Just want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit a little bit, how we're never alone. And I want to start just by opening us up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your presence here. Thank you for allowing us to worship you, and even in times like these, Lord, when we can't all be together, Lord, we can still worship you. We know that you are still with us. Your Holy Spirit is here, and we thank you for that. Lord, I just pray for each member of this church. Lord, I pray they're staying well. Lord, I pray for our community. I pray for everyone that, again, I just hope that everyone's staying well, they're staying healthy, and Lord, I hope that they're feeling your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I want to talk to you today about never being alone. Never alone. And I'm going to start out by reading some scripture. I'm going to read from John 14 and verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and kept them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me pray. Dear Lord, again, just come to you to give you thanks, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Lord. Thank you for that scripture. Thank you for the promises, Lord. Thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord. I just pray that each person watching, listening, receives your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt alone? I mean, truly alone, like you didn't have anybody around you physically, but also you didn't feel like you had anybody you could turn to. It's not a very good feeling to be left alone. This scripture here, Jesus is promising his disciples they'll never be left alone. Believe it or not, when Abby was small, I was a little bit of an overprotective parent. Still am in a lot of ways. I'm a little bit of a control freak. I like to control things. I don't feel comfortable when I'm not in control. I remember the first time I left her at home alone. And I remember everything, all the instructions that I gave her. I said, if you need this, she had a number for everything. Again, she was plenty old enough to be left alone, but our neighbors were home. She's got my mom's number. She has my number. She has Ronnie. She's got everybody's number. And I said, you're not alone. Just give me a call or go next door if you need something. So I gave her those proper instructions that if she needed me, she knew how to get a hold of me. And this scripture is kind of what Jesus is doing here. He's telling us, even though he's going to go away, they're not going to be alone. There's going to be someone always there with them. I want to repeat verses 15 through 17. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will abide in you. if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What commandments are Jesus talking about? Looking back over the last few weeks in the book of John, he gives his disciples a few commandments. In chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, he commands them to wash one another's feet. We talked about that on Palm Sunday. And he washed their feet to give them the example of how they should serve each other. So that's a command that he gave us. He also commanded them to love one another as he loves them. In other words, we're supposed to love each other just like Jesus loves us. That's found in John 13, 34. And then in John 14, 1, he commanded his disciples to put their faith in God, the Father, and also in Jesus. You see, keeping Jesus' commandments, it speaks to our personal morality, but more importantly, it emphasizes our love for others and our faith in Him. Again, it emphasizes our love for each other, and it shows our faith in Him. You see, we demonstrate obedience to His commandments because we love Him. You see, this is a great measure of love, just by following what He's told us to do. And we don't do it purely out of sentiment or emotion. We do it because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're commanded to do. That's what we're called to do. Our goal is to grow closer to Him and be more like Him. And we do that by following His commandments. We do that by being obedient. You see, when we're disobedient, it separates us. It separates us from His will. It separates us from His what He wants us to be. You see, Jesus spoke about this proper obedience. He talked about we're not obedient out of fear, pride, or desire to earn a blessing. In other words, we don't do the things that Jesus calls us to do. We don't keep those commandments because we're afraid of what happens or because we're wanting something. We do it because we love Jesus. We have that ultimate love of Jesus. So we show that proper obedience to Him. Charles Spurgeon put it this way: obedience must have love for its mother, nurse, and food. The essence of obedience lies in the hearty love which prompts the deed rather than the deed itself. Have you ever been led by fear? Certain leaders have led by fear. And as a leader, I've actually sometimes led by fear. And I've also tried leading with love. And I can tell you which one's more effective. If people love you, they'll do what you want them to do. If they're afraid of you, when you're not looking, guess what? They'll do what they want to do. But if they love you, that's the way Jesus is teaching us here. He's teaching us to love Him. And when we love Him, we'll keep those commandments. In verse 16, Jesus goes on to say that He's going to ask the Father to send an advocate, a helper. You see, this is the second of three assurances that He promises the disciples right there. You see, the disciples were starting to think that Jesus was leaving them. He starts telling them, hey, I'm going to be gone. And they're going to be left alone, not knowing what to do. And what would they do? They've been following Him for 3 years. What would they do without Him? How would they keep the mission going if He wasn't with them? Again, they felt like they needed somebody. So Jesus promises to send a helper. And actually, it says the helper's already with them. The helper's already with them. You see, Jesus knew that the disciples He was talking to then, and the disciples like us that came later, would need that helper, that advocate. You see, the statement that Jesus gave them is a perfect example of the Trinity of God. It shows us that God in three persons is God. One God, but three distinct characteristics. You have God the Father, you have God the Son that walked with Him on earth, that died for our sins, that was buried, that left our sins in the grave, and He rose again so we can live again. But we also have the Holy Spirit that's with us always. We always have the Holy Spirit. He's always inside of us. Again, the word advocate or helper comes from a Greek word that really translates closer to advisor, legal defender, or mediator. The King James Version actually translates the word to comforter. You see, one way to understand what advocate, helper, or comforter means is to know what the opposite is. To know what the opposite of a helper, an advocate, or a comforter is. And that's what Satan is. Satan is an accuser. When you have those thoughts that you're not good enough, when you have those thoughts you can't do something, when you have those thoughts you're not good enough, those come from Satan because he's the accuser. It's the Holy Spirit that reinforces who we are and whose we are. Again, he's our advocate. He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's the one that tells us that everything's going to be okay. Again, so when we feel those urges from Satan that we're not good enough, we've got to call on the Holy Spirit and turn our back on Satan and walk back towards Christ, because Satan's persistent. He's persistent with his accusations. So we have to be persistent in calling on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's there. It's with us. And after we accept Jesus, it's within us. And we need to know how to call on it. We've got two batteries here. They look just alike. Exactly alike. They're both energizers. You can't tell them apart by looks. You cannot tell them apart by looks. If they can talk, they say, I'm a battery. But there's one distinct difference. One of them don't have anything in it. You don't have any power. It's dead. The other one's fully charged. It's ready to go. When you put it into something, it will run and run and run because it's filled with what it needs to continue. We're like those batteries. We have to be plugged into the Holy Spirit to be able to do the will of God. You see, when we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in us forever. Jesus spoke of three aspects on the disciples' relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see, a disciple of Jesus knows the Holy Spirit. A disciple of Jesus has the Holy Spirit with them. And a disciple of Jesus has the Holy Spirit in them. I'm going to repeat that, except I'm going to repeat it as I, instead of saying the word disciple. And I want you to think about this as you in your head. So, again, I know the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit with me. And I have the Holy Spirit in me. Again, those same concept that Jesus was telling the disciples are true to us. You see, the Holy Spirit was already with us. It's a part of that prevenient grace that Christ promises us. But when we accept Jesus, then the Holy Spirit dwells within us. In John 20, Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples. When we accept Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit is in us. And when we fully submit to the Holy Spirit, in Acts 1:8, it talks about the Holy Spirit being upon us or upon you. You see, this experience happens when we fully submit to what the Holy Spirit's urging us to do. When we commit our lives to being obedient, to following the commandments, to following his callings, that's when the Holy Spirit's truly upon us. You see, when Jesus departs, he's going to make himself known to his disciples. Verses 18 through 20 says, I will not leave you orphan. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I am you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will not leave you as orphans. Again, we're never alone. We're never alone. His presence is always with us. Sometimes we may feel alone when we let Satan come in and tell us how we're not good enough. But when we turn back and we feel that Holy Spirit and we start doing the will of God, that's when we feel his presence again. You see, because we're not orphans. When Jesus left, he didn't leave us orphaned. You see, as followers of Jesus, we're not orphaned because an orphan has parents who are gone or dead. But through the Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus is alive. An orphan is left alone, but through the Holy Spirit, we know that God is always with us. An orphan has lost their provider, but through the Holy Spirit, God provides us with all we need. An orphan is left without instruction, but the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. An orphan has no defender, but the Holy Spirit is our protector. I will come to you, Jesus again promised to come to the disciples. In John 14:3, he promised. He said, this promise is fulfilled by his resurrection and by sending the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took our sins to the grave. He left our sins there and he rose. We're not orphaned. He's still alive. Again, the world, people who don't accept Christ can't see that. But we see it because we know. We know Jesus. We know the Holy Spirit's dwelling within us. Because I live, you will also live. You see, we have to be dependent upon that Holy Spirit. Our dependence of life needs to be through the Holy Spirit. Every decision we make needs to be in counsel with our comforter, our helper, our advocate. You see, we're saved because Christ died for us. We're in relationship because Christ still lives. We're in relationship because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. You know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Through the Holy Spirit, we know a life of relationship and union with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see, this relationship is evident by the knowledge of God's will. Again, we know God's will. We know to keep God's commandments out of obedience. Not out of fear, but out of love and obedience. The relationship is evident, again, by that obedience to God. The relationship is evident by our love for each other and our love for Him. If you ever do feel alone, and sometimes this is hard when we are down or we're feeling alone, but the best way to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, no matter how low you are, is go help somebody that's low. When you do that, you know that you're in God's will because that's what He's wanting you to do. When you want to feel the presence of God, go do something for somebody that can't do anything for you. Go pray with somebody. Go do something they can't do for themselves. Not expecting anything in return. Just do it because you love Jesus. And you accept Jesus for what he has done for us. You see, when we do those things, when we start serving in the will of God, we let the Holy Spirit take over our lives, we never feel alone. See, we're never alone. The Holy Spirit is always dwelling within us. Jesus didn't leave us orphaned. If you're watching and you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never felt that presence of the Holy Spirit, I pray today that you accept Jesus and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's nothing like it in the world to know that you'll never be alone. You'll never be alone. Never be alone. You see, if you've never experienced that, it's hard to imagine what I'm talking about. Again, I just pray that you'll accept Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You start relying on that Holy Spirit for your comfort. If you're listening, watching, and you've had that relationship with Jesus, you've had the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you right now, but you feel like you're not there, it's not there anymore. You feel like you can't find it. You are alone. I pray that you rely totally on the Holy Spirit. You pray and pray and pray. When you feel Satan tempting you, you feel Satan lying to you, know that that spirit within you is who you really are. If you can't feel that spirit anymore, just get on your knees and pray. Submit to the Holy Spirit. If you want to pray with me, you can call me anytime. I said early on when we started social distancing, just because we can't be physically together in this building don't mean that we've got to be spiritually distant. We can still pray together. If you need me again, I'm available anytime. I love you. I miss everybody. And I want to close this with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins, Lord. And through Him we have our salvation, Lord. But also thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for that comfort we feel. Thank you for never leaving us alone. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here that hears this message today, Lord, that they don't know you, they turn to you, Lord, and they start experiencing this feeling that we're never alone. Lord, again, just thank you for Chestnut Hill United Methodist Church. Thanks for this community. And thank you for being who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, just thank you so much for joining us this morning. I want to end with a benediction, and I hope to see you soon. Lord, go with us now and help us show the world that we're not alone. Lord, go with us. Help us be your hands and feet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.